Let's check in on the highest profile trial to date involving the January 6th riots. Jury selection has begun in the government's case against five members and associates of Oath Keepers. That includes Stuart Rhodes, the founder of the extremist group. They stand accused of seditious conspiracy, which goes back to a law from the Civil War era. We have Ryan Lucas on the line. He is NPR Justice Department correspondent. Ryan, hello.
Hi there.
So the January 6th committee has shown video of Oath Keepers on that day, January 6th, in camouflage gear, marching in a military stack formation to the Capitol steps during the violence of that day. What does the government accuse these five individuals of doing?
Well, the government says that after the 2020 election, these five defendants recruited and trained and conspired to use force to prevent the transfer of presidential power to Joe Biden, to prevent the electoral, to prevent Congress from certifying the Electoral College count. The government says that these defendants bought weapons and tactical gear, that they coordinated their travel to Washington, D.C. for January 6th. Prosecutors say that the defendants stashed weapons at a hotel in Virginia just across the river from D.C. And had people ready to rush those guns into Washington on January 6th if things got messy down by the Capitol. And then at the Capitol itself, as you mentioned at the top, there were a stack of Oath Keepers who, in military-style formation, forced their way up the steps of the Capitol into the building itself. And the government is saying that this was a seditious conspiracy. It was aiming to prevent the lawful execution of U.S. laws. And the government is basing its case on, as we've seen in a lot of January 6th prosecutions, reams and reams of text messages, encrypted communications that the defendants sent each other. There are also audio recordings and then, of course, videos as well from the Capitol on that day.
Seditious conspiracy, you mentioned that. How easy or hard is that to prove?
Well, I mean, the bar is obviously the same as any other criminal case here. It would be proving beyond a reasonable doubt. The difficult thing here is kind of the gravity of this charge itself. Essentially, in essence, what they're accusing these defendants of doing is an attack on the United States. And so there's a lot of political weight. There's a lot of symbolic weight to that. The Justice Department has mixed success historically with this charge. It's rarely been used. The last time that the government brought it was back in 2010, I believe, against the Hutari militia in Michigan, and the government ultimately did not succeed in that case. So it is a big charge, carries a maximum sentence of 20 years in prison, but the government is going to have to marshal all the evidence that it has to convince this jury here to convict.
Ryan, we do have some early clues to the defendants and their what they'll argue in their defense, yeah?
That's right. We've heard a couple of things in pretrial hearings, court hearings that we've had here in Washington, D.C. Some of the arguments that we've heard from the defendants would be something akin to, you know, they were in D.C. on January 6th to provide security for VIPs at the Trump rally or to protect Trump supporters who were here to protest in case, say, Antifa attacked them. Rhodes' attorney has also argued that, you know, all of the chatter and planning that the government talks about in the lead up to January 6th were in fact just preparations in case then President Trump invoked something called the Insurrection Act, which would have allowed Trump to kind of call up militias to support him. Invoking the Insurrection Act is something that Trump had publicly toyed with in the summer of 2020. So that's one of the other arguments that we might see. Prosecutors say, though, that when it comes to the Insurrection Act, that's just legal cover in the view of prosecutors. It's just a ruse. And they say that the defendants were ready to act and use force regardless of what Trump did.
All right. And Ryan, in Congress tomorrow, the January 6th committee holds its next hearing. Could be the last hearing it's the last hearing on the calendar. And members may air some clips of a documentary that CNN has obtained of Trump confidant Roger Stone urging violence and a strategy of contesting the election months before the riot. Let's take a listen.
The key thing to do is to claim victory. Possession is 9/10 of the law. No, we won. F*** you. Sorry, over. We won. Yeah. You're wrong.
Ryan, has anyone at this point, either in court or in a hearing room, been able to link the White House with planning of this riot?
You know, that's one of the things that people have been keeping an eye out for, certainly since January 6th itself. That's one of the big questions that hangs over all of this investigation into the events of that day. And certainly in court thus far, the Justice Department has not presented evidence that would directly link the White House, Trump's inner circle, certainly, to the violence that we saw and the sort of stuff that we saw from the Oath Keepers on that day. It's something that the Justice Department may still be searching for. It's something that they may develop evidence of. But at this point in time, we have not seen a definitive link drawn. No.
That's Ryan Lucas. He covers the Justice Department for NPR. Ryan, thank you.
Thank you.